Chad. We're talking about Chad Andrus joins us from DenverFan.com. Chad, we're talking about, because I'm, you know, talking about the nostalgic cars, you know, we used to have. If you could go get a car that you used to have, I'm talking about getting maybe the old Ford Bronco 2 I had back in the day in college, or maybe if I ever had the money, getting a DeLorean. Do you have a car, Chad, that if you could, you know, could go back and get, you would love to get now that you're a little bit older and you have all that money you're making?
I'm not real nostalgic about cars. My cars pretty much have always sucked, right? They're a means to an end, right? They're to get me from point A to point B. I'm not a big car guy. I do have a vehicle from an LA dealership that I've had for 10 years or so, and it's worked fine. So knock on wood, you know, no issues there. I did have a buddy in high school who had an original white Bronco that we had plenty of adventures in. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff, I'm a little nostalgic on, but the way they've tried to remake the Bronco is just an abomination. And, you know, I'm not a huge car guy, right? I could probably make use of a truck. But, you know, it just doesn't carry a lot of weight with me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody else was saying the same thing. Now there's this conspiracy theory. It says that last segment explains so much about you. I'm guessing you got your Bronco at a John Elway dealership. They think I'm always smashing on the team because I got ripped off by a John Elway dealership. No, both cars I bought at a John Elway dealership where I had great experiences. It was the one off Arapahoe. Nothing but good things to say about that. And by the way, John Elway had sold out. You know, by the time I had bought any cars from those dealerships, I think he had no interest in those dealerships. But no, I'm like you, Chad. I actually had a truck. A client paid me in trade. He gave me a truck. It was a beautiful F-150, and I started driving it around. I was paying about $500 a month in gas, and I got it all up and running. And so my wife, you know, I didn't know why. She was very patient because it sat outside the house for about a year because it needed an engine, and then the client put the engine in it. So I had this beautiful truck with a brand-new engine. We put an Apple CarPlay in it, and the wife never said a peep. And then it got it up and running. And then the wife said, oh, that's great. Now I'm taking your car. I'm like, what? No. So then I had to sell it. I had the truck for about, you know, I don't know, about 6 months. So now those are my only pickup days there, Chad. The end of the dream. All right. So you are our resident. I call you. Well, what did your text say? I saved it. You paid attention to Aaron Rodgers throughout your life, right, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a Packer-loving family from Wisconsin, right? I mean, my dad, you know, in our household, we were on Lombardi time, and he was, you know, as diehard as it gets, in love with the romance of the, you know, the 60s Lombardi, Bart Starr, Jim Taylor, Ray Nitschke Packers. And that's what my family knew growing up. And I was the youngest of the bunch, and I had a bit of a different experience from my older siblings, but I mean, that has been entrenched in my family from, you know, the time I was born. So I've always followed the Packers very closely and followed, you know, what has been the last 30 years of Favre and Rodgers very closely.
So I'm looking at your Facebook, and I think you probably had the same thing on Twitter, but this is from 13 hours ago, maybe 14 hours ago. Now it says 10 points as the number one seed, 58 yards in the second half. What's your excuse this time, MVP? This freaking guy. That's your was your commentary on Aaron Rodgers last night. So what are you trying to say there, Chad?
He's always got an excuse, right? And, you know, for a while in his career, I think people need to understand, and I think what most people in Denver or other places hoping and wishing for Aaron Rodgers to come their way are missing, is you have to separate past playoff losses compared to his last three playoff losses, okay? The last 3 years, it's not Mike McCarthy botching clock management or a defense that can't stop Colin Kaepernick or Raheem Mostert from running the football all over him or the Falcons from putting up 44 points and denying you the Super Bowl. All right. Those were all things that happened in Aaron Rodgers' prime that he could have gotten a team to a Super Bowl, but he couldn't overcome his head coach, his defensive coordinator, and Dom Capers. Right. Those things all happened. But people are treating the last 3 years the same way that they treated those years. And it's simply not true. In the last 3 years, he's lost twice to Jimmy Garoppolo. Once when Garoppolo threw 8 passes, and the other time when the San Francisco offense didn't score a touchdown. Last year, he lost at home when his defense picked Tom Brady 3 times, and he couldn't get the job done. All right, you have to separate, and I don't care about the regular season MVPs last year and the likely one this year. You have to separate the last 3 seasons and the playoff performances from the previous ones. Because they're not McCarthy failures. They're not Dom Capers failures. They're Aaron Rodgers failures. He scored on the first possession last night. They had a touchdown, and they didn't do anything the rest of the game. All right, that's on him. He's lost to Garoppolo twice. Once when Garoppolo threw 8 passes, and the other time when their offense didn't score a touchdown. All right, that is on Aaron Rodgers. Last night, he completed 1 pass to somebody not named Davante Adams. All right, these are things that are on him, but there's always an excuse, right? There's always this, well, he's the MVP of the league, or, you know, this happened to him, or that happened to him, right? That may have been true under Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers when the team was not capable of getting them to and winning another Super Bowl, and I fully admit that. Rodgers at his peak was unbelievable, but he is not at his peak, and the last 3 are on him.
That's a pretty harsh criticism, but I think it's fair. What about this, though? Because what is burned is very vivid in my mind, which is Brett Favre's last game in Green Bay, which was, I believe, the NFC Championship game against the Giants. And, man, he just looked miserable. It's like it was just so cold, so miserable. And it was, I don't know if it was as bad that last night as that game. But is it just like, is it Green Bay, and I know everybody, we're Packers, do they need a dome there or something? Like, is it, you know, fair to kill him last night when, you know, the Niners couldn't score either, and, you know, kicks are getting blocked, and every, you know, there are people on the text line here making excuses, saying it's not his fault that kicks are getting, you know, taken back and blocked and all this stuff. I mean, is it just too cold? I mean, Chad, it was really cold last night.
Has it always been cold in Green Bay?
Yes.
Because in the history of the franchise, their first 14 home playoff games, they were 14-0. Their last 14, they're 7-7. And guess who's been the quarterback for the last 14?
Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Now, some of Brett Favre.
Favre, yeah.
Look, he openly and willingly says he wants it to be cold. All right? So when you make that statement, you have no excuse. He welcomes it. He wants them to come there. He says he likes the cold. Well, when that game started last night, everything was in their favor. They drove it right down the field, put 7 points on the board, and the San Francisco receivers couldn't catch a cold because of the cold, right? Kittle was dropping things right in his hands. Everybody was dropping passes. San Francisco could not do anything offensively to start that game, and maybe that was because of the cold, all right? But you cannot make that excuse when you say you welcome it and you want it to be cold and you want to bring an opponent into that environment. You no longer have that excuse to throw out. You scored a touchdown on your first possession. What happened for the final, you know, 56 minutes of the game or whatever it was? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He threw to one guy all night. He completed 1 freaking pass to somebody other than Davante Adams. Tell me that's not on the quarterback.
Let me ask you this. There is I don't happen to agree with it. In fact, I was just going through the list of free agents for the Broncos, particularly on the defense. But people, you know, people don't go that deep, right? They love their team. They have a surface level understanding, and they just say, hey, the Vic Fangio's defense was great last year. Therefore, if we get Aaron Rodgers, even though the offense has been terrible, he will come in. He will make this team great, and they can win a Super Bowl. They're instant contenders. It will be exciting. It will be just like Peyton Manning when he was here. What about that, Chad?
Packers defense didn't allow an offensive touchdown last night, and they lost. So, next, what's your other theory?
Well, it won't be that cold here ever, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's Denver. It does get cold in Denver. Like we've had snow games and games where it does get cold.
I don't care about the cold, right? The defense did not allow a touchdown and you lost. You had a 7-0 lead 5 minutes into the game, and you did nothing the rest of the way. Right? Like, stop. The cold is not an excuse. Both teams played in it. Right? Jimmy Garoppolo managed to not give the ball away other than the stupid throw towards the end of the first half, and he beat Aaron Rodgers again. He's 2-0 in NFC Championship games against him. Like, stop. Like, stop with the excuses for this guy. The regular season MVP does not matter. Like, if an NBA player, right, and we've seen this before, whether it's James Harden or Dirk Nowitzki before he won a championship, right, an NBA player gets voted regular season MVP and then gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs, they become a laughingstock. But we just continue to give them a free pass. Oh, well, Aaron Rodgers will fix it. Aaron Rodgers will do this, right? Why? Why? He doesn't do it anymore. He is not in his prime. He's not at his peak. And all of those terrible circumstances, having to play under Mike McCarthy with Dom Capers as a defensive coordinator, with losing 3 playoff games in overtime without ever touching the ball, all of those things that happened to him in his career that were very unfortunate and stained his playoff record, I will admit that it was not on him. But the last 3 are, and we're living in the present.
All right, let me ask you this. Now, you are our mutual friend, Seren Petro from WHB in Kansas City. We had him on about an hour ago. Now, you've also been known to keep a keen eye on the Dallas Cowboys. A hot candidate around here is Dan Quinn. I asked Mr. because they have a similar defensive coordinator who's taken a similar path anyway. Was a great defensive coordinator, built a pretty darn good defense, and won a championship at Steve Spagnuolo, was a head coach, didn't have success, came back, and now he's a pretty darn good defensive coordinator, right? And that's where he's going to stay. Dan Quinn built the Legion of Boom, won a championship, went to Atlanta, got to a Super Bowl, melted down, and then now he's a kind of a hot candidate because of what he did in Dallas this year. Seren Petro kind of came out on fire saying, what did he do in Dallas? What did he do? Yeah, he had good personnel. They had a good regular season. They got bounced in the first round by Kyle Shanahan. Why is he such a good candidate? He'll be hired so he can be fired within a couple of years. What do you make of that?
I think he will be hired because he can be fired in a couple of years applies to any candidate if they don't fix the quarterback position. So that's not just Dan Quinn. I do like the fact that he has been a head coach and he's been a successful head coach, but this talk, this discussion that keeps coming up of, well, you got to hire an offensive guy. Well, you know, you can hire a defensive guy and they'll do this, right? Hire a head coach, hire a guy who's going to know how to run his team, hire the guy who's going to have the respect of both sides of the ball, hire the guy who's going to pay attention to both sides of the ball, right? I don't understand why someone like Jim Caldwell, who won in Detroit of all places, is not a candidate for this position. All right. Kyle Shanahan is regarded as some kind of offensive guru, right? And you hire him as a head coach. What kind of a game did his team win last night? Right? Because his defense shut down Green Bay after the first drive and they did nothing. All right. Hire the guy who is going to manage the entire team. Is that Dan Quinn? I mean, he got to a Super Bowl in Atlanta. That's a pretty big accomplishment, right? You know, I don't know if he's the best guy to be a head coach, but the whole offensive defensive guy philosophy is making me crazy because when I'm looking up, all the guys that are left are offensive guys, and a lot of them have their teams playing pretty damn good defense.
Well, I would tend to agree with you. I would like a total package. I like a head coach that can lift up the leadership of the entire team. But we'll see how that shakes out. Before I let you go, Nuggets. I've been having a lot of conversation around Michael Malone. This year, I just don't know how you – I mean, there's always criticism you can level at the guy. People are saying, well, he blows leads in the second half. I just don't know what he's working with. He's got Nikola Jokic, like, for example, who played 40 minutes the other night, and, yeah, they lose the lead. Maybe James Merrillat, for example, has a fair criticism in that maybe you should adjust when you rest the guy, but, you know, because – they tend to blow the leads in the fourth quarter, but I don't know. Like, if the dude plays 40 out of 48 minutes, I don't know when you arrest him. I mean, at some point, the other guys on the roster who are just simply not that talented have to step up. I mean, what do you make of it? I mean, it's the roster is just kind of is what it is. What do you think of the Nuggets in the job Malone's doing?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of working with, you know, what's in the kitchen, right? And I think that's a big part of the reason why they're going to try Boogie Cousins, right, to see if they can provide some offense when Jokic is off the court and maybe buy a couple more minutes a game with him there to steal some wins. They're going to keep trying, you know, a few different things like that. You know, the Nuggets, they're not going to show you anything that is going to be consistent just because of the roster makeup and what they're dealing with, right? Until they can get players back, which to me primarily means Murray. I'm not so concerned with Porter. I don't think he's a huge difference maker, but it would help. The Nuggets are going to finish in that sixth spot. That's where they're going to finish. They're going to play Utah or possibly Memphis in the first round. If Murray comes back and or Porter and they can play 11 to 15 games, then I like the Nuggets' chances in that first round series to steal it. Okay. If they don't come back, they're not going to win. Right. I mean, that's the way this season shapes up. I mean, you can go with the ups and downs with it. You can live and die game by game, but when they go on this long upcoming road trip, right, what is travel going to do to them? Right. It's probably going to put more guys in health and safety protocols, missing games, and you don't know who's going to be out there. I think the one thing that the Nuggets need to address and fix going forward is they have got to figure out how to play without Facu Campazzo on the court. He's the worst rotation player for any 500 team or better. He's awful. He's an enormous negative. Every time he's out there, even when he plays with Jokic, they get torched. So they've got to figure out a way, whether that is Bones Highland trying to play point guard or Will Barton playing more with the second team or letting Marcus Howard play or whatever the case may be. All due respect to a great international veteran who's had a great career, but Campazzo is a disaster and they cannot continue to just get buried every time he plays. So they've got to try something different with the second unit.
All right. And you're still on your that will be in the finals within the next 3 years.
If healthy, yeah, if Jokic and Murray are healthy, you know, I would prefer to move Porter, but if he's got to be a part of it, you know, I think Jokic, Murray, Gordon as the core, yes, they can win the Western Conference.
Well, no, not yes, they can. You guaranteed it.
Yeah, they will with the Jokic.
Okay. All right. Chad Andrews from DenverFan.com and host of our Denver Nuggets postgame shows here on The Fan. Thank you so much for your time.